The Gospel of John says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Welcome to this place as we behold the glory of God in the story of that Word that came to earth, was born in Bethlehem to save the world. We're so glad you're here. Some of you have come a short way. Some are from other places, maybe other states, locations, visiting family and friends. Whoever you are, feel the welcome of this congregation and of God's loving presence. I do have one announcement that I need to make as we begin, and I'm glad that our clerk reminded me to say this. We're going to have candle lighting near the end of the service, and you're going to have a candle in your hand. Now, don't forget this. The lighted candle stays vertical, and the candle to be lighted is horizontal. Don't go it like this. Don't do that. Like this and like that, and that will work wonderfully well. Again, we're glad to welcome you on this special night in the life of the church and of the world. Let us call one another into the worship of God. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
He is named Emmanuel, God with us. In this infant gift, this vulnerable child, we find our light, our joy, our comfort, joy to the world, the Lord is come.
The words are on the screen and probably in your mind and heart. We stand together as we sing our opening hymn.
When the Word becomes flesh once more to dwell among us. We open ourselves to the light and long to offer our lives as a dwelling place for your truth. Speak to us again through the child of Bethlehem. Reach out to the child in each of us and hold us in the warmth of love and grace.
For we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated.
What do I want for Christmas? I want to kneel in Bethlehem, the air thick with alleluias, the angels singing that God is born among us. In the light of the star, I want to see them come, the wise ones and the humble. I want to see them come, bearing whatever they treasure, to lay at the feet of him who gives his life. What do I want for Christmas? To see in that stable the whole world kneeling in thanks for a promise kept, new life. For in his nativity, we find ours.
We rise again in body or spirit and join in the singing of our Christmas carol, What Child Is This? On the screen. Please be seated.
We have a slightly different reading This is a poem that my mom suggested instead, by Madeline L'Engle. It's called The Risk of Birth, Christmas, 1973. This is no time for a child to be born. With the earth betrayed by war and hate, and a comet slashing the sky to warn that time runs out and the sun burns late. That was no time for a child to be born, in a land in the crushing grip of Rome. Honor and truth were trampled by scorn, yet here did the Savior make his home. When is the time for love to be born? The inn is full on the planet Earth, and by a comet the sky is torn, yet love still takes the risk of birth.
Christmas story is found in two of the Gospels, Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. Here again, this wonderful, ancient, and so contemporary story.
Tonight's reading is from Luke 2, 1 through 20. About that time, Emperor Augustus gave orders for the names of all the people to be listed in record books. These first records were made when Aquarius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to go to their own hometown to be listed. So Joseph had to leave Nazareth in Galilee and go to Bethlehem in Judea. Long ago, Bethlehem had been King David's hometown, and Joseph went there because he was from David's family. Mary was engaged to Joseph and traveled with him to Bethlehem. She was soon going to have a baby, and while they were there, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in baby clothes and laid him on a bed of hay, because there was no room for them in the inn. That night, in the field near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep. All at once, an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day in King David's hometown, a Savior was born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You will know who he is because you will find him dressed in baby's clothes, lying in a bed of hay." Suddenly, many other angels came down from heaven and joined in praising God. They said, "Praise God in heaven. Peace on earth to everyone who pleases God." After the angels had left and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying on a bed of hay. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angel had said about him. Everyone listened and was surprised, but Mary kept thinking about all this and wondering what it meant. As the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. Everything they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said. This is a reading of God's word.
The Christmas story, thanks be to God. Let us worship the Lord now as we bring gifts. As we bring our giving, our hearts, we give our hearts and we give ourselves as well. Thank you. much money came in falling from heaven. Let us give thanks. Oh God, we give you thanks for angels that sing, for stars that shine over a new and wonderful birth, for a carol and a song in our heart, for this moment of bringing gifts, that your great gift will find its way into every heart. Amen.
The world still knows. The night is still dark, and a procession of Herods still terrorize the earth, killing the children to stay in power. The world still knows its Herods, but it also still knows men and women who pack their dreams safely in their hearts and set off toward Bethlehem, faithful against all odds, undeterred by fatigue or rejection, to kneel to a child. And the world still knows those persons wise enough to follow a star, those who do not consider themselves too intelligent, too powerful, too wealthy, to kneel to a child. And the world still knows those hearts so humble that they're ready to hear the word of a song and to leave what they have, to go, to kneel to a child. The night is still dark, but by the light of the star, even today, we can still see, to kneel to a child.
Right. Tonight, His love this Christmas and always.
We welcome the coming of Christ.
Just a note for the rest of the service. Don't pay attention to the asterisks that ask you to stand until the final hymn. I will ask you to stand for Joy to the World, but you'll remain seated until then. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks that heaven sings and the earth rejoices. May our hearts sing and rejoice this night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dan Wakefield died last year. He was 91 years old. He had a long life. He was an American writer of some note and importance in his earlier years. He wrote more than 20 books, five novels. Two of his novels were made into movies. He was a journalist who wrote on current events. He was a screenwriter. Much of his stuff appeared on television. Dan Wakefield had a difficult year, 1980. He was a young man, not far out of an Ivy League college. Grew up in Indiana and Indianapolis, but went to New York to college and stayed there to work and should have had a great, easy life, I suppose, but it wasn't great and it wasn't easy. No life is. The woman that he was living with for 7 years, the woman that he thought he was going to be spending the rest of his life with, walked out. He buried his mother. His father in May, he buried his mother in November, lost his job, lost his house, was flat broke. Nothing else that he knew to do but to try another place, so he moved to Boston. And it's now December of 1980. Finds himself once again in a local bar. I can imagine he's looking into a half empty glass of beer, and it will not be the first or last glass of beer that will be emptied that night. His life came apart, fell apart. He confesses that at age 25, he was a step away from oblivion. Everything had gone wrong, and he covered up the pain with more alcohol and more drugs, more alcohol and more drugs. Every time the pain came, he went back to what he knew would kill the pain, or at least for a time. So there he is, sitting in a bar. It's December, it's cold, it's near Christmas. Tony walks into the bar. Tony is a regular. Everybody knows Tony. Tony is the local house painter. He paints all those New England houses, those big houses. You can't get up to the top of them very easily, but Tony's got the ladders and the crew. Everybody calls on Tony at some time in their life to paint their house. And Tony sat down, and after a moment or two, Tony said to no one in particular, just to whoever might be there, "I'm looking for a church to go to on Christmas Eve." Dan Wakefield looked at his half-empty glass. A strange thought came to him. A thought he had not had in over 25 years. You know, when a kid goes to college at 18 or whatever, and then you get into a different group of people. He got into the fast group in New York, you know. By fast group, I mean he was in a group where people had these parties, and if you mentioned the name of God more than once, you never got invited back. Dan Wakefield was an atheist. He didn't give a hoot about religion. He left that when he left Hoosierland, where he grew up in a Presbyterian and a Baptist church. That was all behind him, he thought. Until Tony said, "Does anyone have an idea where I could go to church on Christmas Eve?" Dan Wakefield thought, "I want to go to church on Christmas Eve." The thought surprised him. Hadn't set foot in a church in over 25 years. But there he was thinking now, maybe there's something. Maybe there's something that will pull me through, that will pull me out, that will hold me now that I'm almost out of hope and strength and I can't make it on my own. Maybe I should go to church on Christmas Eve. He got the Boston newspaper and he went through the ads and he looked and he looked and he looked for a place that he thought would be non-threatening. He didn't want anybody to try to pull any religious stuff on him. He saw that there was an advertisement of the church that they were just going to sing carols and light candles, and he thought, "I'll go there." And he did. And something happened. I don't mean to say that he became a Christian all of a sudden like Paul on the Damascus Road. It wasn't a bright light coming down from heaven that knocked him to the ground. It was a small seed. God planted in his heart a small seed. He didn't go back to church that next Sunday. In fact, he didn't go back to church until Easter. He thought, "Well, I'll give it another try." And on Easter Sunday, he put on a suit and tie, and he actually kind of shifted through the shadows to try to get to church on Christmas morning. He didn't want any of his friends to recognize him. He didn't want to be seen and known as someone who actually went to church. And then he went again. And he went again. And he began to discover what it means to be in the care and the keeping and the grace and the love of God, who holds us and wants us in love to respond to his love for us. One weeknight it was raining, and he even went to a Bible study. Imagine that. It was raining hard, and guess who? How many people were at the Bible study? There was the seminary intern, and there was an old woman, and he was the third. Three people on a rainy summer night at a Bible study. And he was delighted. He didn't want to have all these people hearing about him. He didn't want anyone to recognize him. This is just the place he wanted to be. You're with me now, aren't you? You can see that something special is happening in the life of Dan Wakefield. He wrote a book called Returning. It's a story, it's a spiritual pilgrimage, it's a spiritual memoir. Bill Moyers said that it was about the best thing he had ever written, ever read on what it means to have a spiritual journey with God. And then he began to tell his story of what God was doing in his life. He became a Bible leader. And people began to hear of the story, and he went all over the place, all over the world, all over the country, telling people about what happened to him because he went to a church on Christmas Eve and God planted a seed. One of the places he frequented was a maximum security prison on the Hudson River called Sing Sing, where the worst of the worst of the worst are locked away. Dan Wakefield took his life and his story and his witness and what had happened to him beginning on a Christmas Eve in 1980 to share with those who were at the end of everything, who were going to be in jail for the rest of their days, who had no hope in the world. Dan Wakefield went in with a word of hope. You can read his book. It's readily accessible. Christmas Eve. I don't know. Have you had a hard year? I see some heads shaking. Everything hasn't worked out the way he had wanted it to, hoped it might. It's not over till God says it's over. And God hasn't said it's over for any of us. No, Dan Wakefield was not a perfect person. On two different occasions, he writes about how he fell back into the old way. But both times, he was claimed once again into the way of life, of hope, of the story of what God did in sending this child born in Bethlehem and how that child's life changed the world and changed us, people who take it and receive it, who bear it, and to live it. There's a poem that became a carol, Christmas carol. It goes like this. Love came down at Christmas time. Love, all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas time. Star and angels gave the sign. That love knocks tonight on every heart. The world cannot save us. More money cannot save us. Long life cannot save us. Wealth and power cannot save us. It is all sign that we cannot make our life work on our own. It cannot happen. It cannot work. We're in need of God's touch, God's grace, God's help, God's strength that will take us and never let us go. Love was born at Christmas time. And love seeks to be born in your heart and in mine this Christmas Eve. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the story that heaven and nature sings because of the birth of Christ, and that we can sing too. So we raise our choruses, we raise our voices, we raise our alleluias for this night. We would bear undying witness. Emmanuel is here, dwelling among us. Our burdens can be lifted. We can join in the song of the heavenly host. We can follow the star. We can get up and go and see the Messiah and witness to the Christ who comes to save and whose presence makes the world, makes us new. And so we bow at the manger this Christmas Eve. And we pray for the courage that once we have bowed, that we can get up, that we can go back to our lives with all of the challenges and difficulties and stresses, and we can be a servant to your word and witness. For the sake of your glory, and in the name of Jesus, whose wonders among us never cease, and whose plan for a new heaven and a new earth cannot fail, we bring our prayers. Amen. And so as we remain anthem on this holy night, let us prayerfully witness to this music.
Thank you.
And now let us join our voices in a Christmas affirmation as we read responsively. Let the love that shaped earth and heaven,
let the love within us this Christmas.
Let the love that created humanity
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that overcomes suffering and hatred
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that causes us to rejoice with loved ones
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that forgives and renews
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that brings reconciliation after separation
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that brings the blessing of peace
dwell within us this Christmas.
And may we share that peace
with all people near and far away.
Amen. Amen. Time to light our candles. The lights will be going down and our candle will be shared with someone next to us. And we will symbolize and rejoice that the light that came in Christ spreads through us and among us into all the world. We join together as we sing and light our candles. Thank you. Now let us bless one another as we go from this place. Let us go to be the gift another needs.
God's sharing, God's blessing, God's love and grace, running to tell the story we heard from the shepherds.
Let us go to be the comfort which can swallow others.
Sharing Jesus' compassion with the poor and needy, welcoming the holiness offered by the most vulnerable and needy.
Let us go to be Christ's presence to the lives around us.
Sharing the Spirit's peace with all the broken, learning the language of hope from the children in our midst.
Amen. You may extinguish your candle if you wish. And let us together stand, if able, as we sing, joy, joy to the world. God bless you as you go from this service and in all the days and nights ahead. Amen.
Sound.